Hi, I'm Janet Shield Scott, and you're listening to JanetFitBeautyStyle.com, a lifestyle talk guide with expert advice on beauty, fashion, wellness, real estate, entertainment, and fun celebrity secrets. Get ready to talk to relationship expert Indy Smith. She is a radio personality, the lovely Indy Smith at that. She's gorgeous if you get a chance to log on and look at her pictures. But she's the host of Global Invasion's Top 10 Countdown on radio.com and co-host of Reality Check on BLS Radio in New York with Lenny Green. She's also a former assistant editor of Word Up Publications, Today's Black Woman, Celebrity in Style, and several other fanzine magazines. Indy is currently obtaining her master's degree in psychology, which is actually what leads us to this interview right now. Hi, Indy. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
I can't complain one bit. I'm just happy to be here.
And who would listen, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, well, I'm really happy to have you on the show here because now you have reset and gone into being a radio personality. So how did you decide to reset, or what made you decide to reset and go in this direction with the relationship guru, as a relationship guru?
So the transformation from editorial to radio was, there's a gap, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I was, you know, like you mentioned, I started at Word Up in Today's Black Woman in the 90s. And in the late ending of the 90s, I became editor-in-chief for Black Celebrity Hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I was burnt out. I was really burnt out. You, of
yes,
all people, know.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You, when you're in publishing, you take your home. When you're an editor, you take your home with you.
I know.
You
it's
take
like
your
it,
work home.
Yeah, it's like it never ends.
It never ends. And what people don't realize is you're in there, and sometimes all those books you see that's under one home, under one company,
right?
One person is doing a lot of them.
Absolutely.
So I ended up doing, I was doing three full books with editorial,
mm-hmm.
and one, like, pictures book, so like a fanzine with just a bunch of, like, styles and different styles and stuff.
Right.
I was doing four
mm-hmm.
books,
mm-hmm.
and I had an intern and a designer and myself, and
right.
I was just burnt out, and I left, and what people don't realize is I have an entertainment background. Like, I used to sing.
Oh.
And I wanted to pursue that, and I got an opportunity to do that overseas in Germany, and I did that off and on, and I traveled overseas, and I was married at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I guess nobody gave me a heads up and let me know you shouldn't really leave your husband to go. I left my husband and trusted the friends and family to go follow and, you know, try these dreams. And I came back, and so you know what happened.
So was he in the music industry?
Yes, he was okay. My manager and my producer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we know the same people. It was the same lifestyle. So it was an understanding,
mm-hmm.
but I guess not so much.
Okay.
And it's all good because we're like close friends now. We're like we press reset, and how we first met is how we are now. We're great friends.
Okay, that's good. You can do that.
Oh, yeah. So I left, and when I came back from Germany, I was no longer in publishing. My personal life took a turn for, like, the unexpected. And, you know, I actually started going down a dark path.
Mm.
And I say dark, okay, let me be clear. I say dark for me because never in my mind would I think that I would be in any lifestyle. But I decided to take on domination, and I became a dominatrix.
Okay. What do you mean dominatrix, and in what
like
way?
Like, witch chains, sex slave, like, dominatrix.
Okay.
And I can honestly say I did that. The courage to do that came from pain. It came from me, you know, clearly I was hurt. But anyone else that I could hurt, I was going to do it. And I was good at it. Because everyone that I dominated was my husband. And I cracked their skulls.
Wow. So I know you didn't feel good about yourself doing that, though, right?
I didn't. Well, I didn't. But I didn't know I didn't until I was out of it.
Oh.
You know, I didn't know that it was dark until I was out of it. Because when you're in the dark, you're in the dark. You don't know it's dark. You think your dark is light, you know? So, I was making money. And, you know, that covers up everything. That makes everything okay.
Okay.
You know?
So, but how were, how were you making money in the dark?
That sounds kind of sexy. Well, you know, you take on, I had sessions and I had a steady clientele, I guess because I was, I'm 5'1". So I was this itty bitty thing filled with all this rage, dominating a situation, and I became popular. Mm. And in that industry, women of color are a, look at me, I feel like a whistleblower, but women of color are a hot commodity.
In a dominatrix field, you're saying?
Exactly
is dominatrix? For those that don't know.
For those who don't know, it's just a lifestyle of submission and dominance. And some of us in our natural personality, we're either dominant people or we're submissive people. You know, you have those types. And a lot of times in relationships and in mainly, I guess, marriages, you know, and this is a good transition, but you go into sometimes relationships wanting to be your full true self, but the other person won't allow it.
But then how are you making money from it, though?
Oh, well, basically, you know, you have a clientele, and they pay you.
For being dominant over them? For them, for being dominant?
To be dominant, yes.
Oh, okay. So you mean...
Yeah, you know, you have men that work in corporate or whatever industry, and they are dominant in their industry. And in their personal lives, they don't want to be. So they look for someone to dominate them.
Okay, you're saying like on a sexual level or just
sexual, emotional, mental,
okay.
Physical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for, I would say, a good 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I started to feel better, and not, I was over the hurt of the, you know, the betrayal in my relationship. Like, the light came on. It's like, what are you doing?
Okay.
You know, I would have these conversations with my mom, and she's like, I don't see how you're getting through it. Like, this isn't you. Like, what are you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you justify it with money. The money was great.
So did she know exactly what you were doing?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I shared it with her. Well, I was 27 years old, so you know I wasn't like this young girl that you know didn't know what she was doing. Like I made a conscious choice to try this.
Okay.
And I shared. I mean, I share everything with her.
That's
you know,
good.
She knows
That's
all,
nice.
She knows all my good dirt, good dirt, bad dirt. Like,
okay.
You know. I'm just like a running reality show for my mother. So, so I did that for about 8 months, and I met up with an old friend, like back before I got into Word Up magazine as a publisher. And we started dating, and when that fell apart, I was done with it. I said, you know what? This is it. I'm done. I'm just only going to focus on my career. I don't want to go back into publishing, but I'm a writer and I'm a media person, and that's what I'm going to do. And I found PNC Radio, and I had never done radio. And the owner, Alex Norman, he gave me a shot, And I've been in radio ever since.
Now, what is PNC Radio? Because then I was
PNCRadio.fm is an online radio station. And it started in Brooklyn, New York, down in Dumbo. And it basically is a radio station that catered to underground hip-hop. And as it grew, it started taking on a life of its own in terms of content and personality. So I literally did 3 shows for the length of time I was there. I started by myself. I had my own show 3 days a week. And then I had a co-host with a gentleman by the name of A. King, and we did a hip-hop show. It was called Juiced Up. Mm-hmm. And then I did another show by myself, which was Midday Invasion.
Mm.
And I did that by myself for a little over 2 years.
That sounds interesting. What kind of show was that, Midday Invasions?
Midday Invasion was just that. It was an invasion. Like, depending on the day, I had relationship topics, top 40s. I had a DJ segment. I had a girl chat day, which was on Thursdays. That was on Fridays. It was just a really fun show.
Okay, now, so that kind of segues a little bit into your relationship. When did that take form?
When I had the DJ segment, and my friend Global Vito from Hot 97 and BLS, he came in, and we started doing Global Tuesdays. Well, he couldn't finish. He couldn't continue to do it, but he felt bad. So he asked me, he said, look, if you come up to the station at Hot 97, we can do it there. We can pre-record, we can do it there. So I'm like, sure, no problem. So my plan was to do my show at PNC, do Global Invasion, at Hot 97, and just go back and forth. That got tiring real quick. I was exhausted. Mm. And he had Lenny interview, just as a radio personality, just the own interview.
Mm-hmm.
And from that time on, Lenny calls me and he's like, look, I used to do this after show on Thursdays, and I need a female co-host. Would you be interested in doing it? It's about relationships. Okay. And what, I'm going to say no? So, mm-hmm. Of course, yay! And that's how things turned. I stopped doing my show at PNC, and I was full-time with Lenny Green. And now we do The Reality of Love on Thursdays, and the content is relationships. So I've been talking about a relationship for, like, gosh, over 4 years now.
Okay, so, but you're talking about relationships, but how are you an expert in that now? Even though you've had your own time with your relationships, how can you be a expert with others?
Well, and that was the thing. When I started, I was probably like almost 2 years in. At the time, it was at KISS. It was KISS FM. It wasn't VLS.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was enjoyable. It was fun, and it was entertaining. And then we got a caller, and it was serious. It was a serious call. She started crying, and before she hung up, something in me was like, this isn't right. Like, we can't just have her hang up. Like, I really felt like something would happen if we didn't, keep in contact.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked Vito to put her on hold, and when we were done taping, I went back on the line, and I just had a short conversation, and I asked her, I said, I don't mind if you don't mind exchanging numbers, and if you want to, have a real conversation, I'm here. And I'm free tomorrow. I'm not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Please, if you feel free, you can call me.
Okay, just for
everybody's looking to talk to.
Everybody's
looking at me like I'm crazy because I gave out my number.
Uh-huh. But it wasn't on air, though.
No, it wasn't on air.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't on air. And so she called me. And, she told me basically that she was HIV positive.
Oh, wow.
And her significant other was HIV positive. And that they were, and she told me everything that they were going through. And
mm-hmm.
that just, it made me feel sad for anybody who really utilized us as a source of help.
Okay.
And so I said, I can't do this. Like, I love what I do, but I'm going to have some type of backbone. So I decided to go back to school, and I didn't know it was going to be this much. I really didn't. My goal was like a certificate or something, and here I am, and now I'm almost done. I got the master's, and I'm strongly considering the doctoral program, but I'm a little tired, so before I go crazy, I might take a break.
Okay, so now you have your master's in psychology.
Yes.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're on board here.
I'm happy a book came out of it.
Yes. Let's see here. So you also have the Ask Why movement. What's going on with that, and what is that about?
The Why Ask movement. When I was in my old school getting my bachelor's, I had a professor, and he sparked it. Like, he literally said to us one day, you know, the day you all stop asking questions is the day you die. And as depressing and shocking as it sounds, it's so true. Like, when you don't have your mind, you don't have your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's your mind is your life. And so I've always been a big advocate for questions and understanding why we do what we do, hence psychology major.
Right.
I kind of zoned out after he said that, and I started writing down, well, what is it that I want to know? What is it that's important to me right now in my life? And I just started a new relationship, and I had written down all these questions that I wanted to ask him.
Okay.
And
questions you wanted to ask the person you were in the relationship with, Okay.
So by the time the class was over, I had over 70 some questions. And that night when we had our conversation, I asked the questions. I had more questions. He had questions. And before the week was out, I had maybe close to 150 questions.
Right, but how did this turn into a movement, though?
From those questions, I typed them up. And when I typed it up, I saw it as like a little guide. Like, I'm thinking, oh, this is a cute little pamphlet, all the questions you should ask in relationships, let me give it out.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I was like, no, wait a minute. This is a book.
Okay.
The questions down, and I put them in categories. And those were my chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I had the chapters, I just filled the chapters. I just organized the chapters, and that's how the book came about.
Oh, now, I see. Why, and your book is called Why Ask. Okay,
right.
I gotcha.
And so the Why Ask is a movement because it's not just about relationships. It just so happens that my area, my field of work right now, my content is relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming first.
Okay.
But Why Ask is a theory. It's the Why Ask is the relationship first, then it's your life. So I have a second book. And then it's your spirit.
Mm.
So it's a transition.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
It's a movement. Like,
I see.
We just don't, yeah, you want to ask questions about everything in your life.
To me, a lot of times we, as women, we get into relationships and we go, oh, yeah, he's cute or he's this or that, and we don't ask the right questions. So let me just ask you, there were a couple of questions from Facebook, and I wanted to just get your opinion on this. Now, this one question I asked Dr. Jeff. I know you probably know Dr. Jeff.
I actually
had a segment on one of his shows when he was with WBLS years ago. But anyway, the question was, how do I explain to my date that my my live-in roommate, and he actually pays rent, is my ex-husband.
So the question is, how do you explain that?
Yes, to someone that you're dating And then all of a sudden your ex-husband pops in and you're like, well, who's this?
Okay.
So this is a question for someone in what was on Facebook. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think before you even, like, you know, so before you even go out with that person, of course, you're going to have a conversation. That, if the minute you know that you are attracted to this person, where you want to spend quality, intimate time, that's when they need to know that situation. I believe you're only going to be respected if you're transparent. And you have to let someone know what your situation is, because you have to give them the choice.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give them the choice if they want to take it any further.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
so
before
you go on that date.
Yeah, it is odd. An odd situation.
Yeah, my living situation may make you uncomfortable. I see that, you know, the way we've been engaging and our communication and our energy is great, and you know, we're attracted to one another, but before we go any further, I need you to understand my living situation, and I don't want to be, I want to be transparent with you so you understand, so you see it, and I want to give you the option so you can, you know, I want you to trust me, like, we're building a foundation here,
uh-huh.
And this is my situation. My ex is living with me, he is only a roommate, he is paying rent, he understands that I'm dating, he's dating. If you would, are you comfortable with that? If not, you know, that you want
right.
to be open
yeah.
with people.
Okay.
Before you spend your money.
All right.
Before you spend their money.
Right,
yeah.
right. Okay, let me just ask you another question from another Facebook participant. They wanted to know, why is it that men find it hard to commit to a relationship? A monogamous relationship.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a male basher. I am literally an even, balanced team player. I don't do the word fair. I think fair is an excuse for not being accountable, but I don't really like that word fair. I will say this. I don't believe men don't want to be committed. I think men want to be committed. I think like everyone else, you're either ready or you're not ready. And what people do is when they're not ready, they still want to enjoy a good thing. So they're not honest with themselves about their level of responsibility, and they involve other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think men actually do want to commit, and I don't think everyone is for everybody. So we need not be offended if you're dating someone and he doesn't want to get married and he breaks up with you and then he gets married. Guess what? He wasn't ready and he didn't want to marry you.
Right.
That's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that great that someone wouldn't put you in a position, or you didn't get stuck in a position
mm-hmm.
where it wasn't for you?
Right.
I think men do want to commit. I think men do want to have a happy life. I don't think some men are honest about them being ready for what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be an issue. But we do it too. Women do it too. We
mm-hmm.
get into relationships that we know aren't for us, and we stay in because it looks good, but we're not really ready for one. And then we wonder why things go wrong.
Right. So then what do you think that women should do to prepare themselves so that they will find Mr. Right?
Don't look for him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look for him. Everything, I tell people this, write it down. Write down what you want for you. Like, if you were to date you, if you're
mm-hmm.
the perfect package, make your menu. Why are you the perfect package? Write all of that down. Everything that you absolutely love about yourself, write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you love all these things about yourself, that means you know or should know what will complement all of those things. So write those down. Now, that might be your dream guy, but that's not a reality guy, because you're not going to get everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what you will have is a blueprint of yourself, not of him. Forget about him. Of yourself.
Yeah, because and sometimes you're not ready with yourself. Some women, they don't try to make themselves happy first, or try to do things that make men attractive to you, because maybe they're
the right man attracted to you.
Right.
Because you can be a great woman and attract crap and maintain that. Like, they think that that's, I mean, we see it all the time on these reality TV shows. You know, like, really? You will pay $1,000 to get your hair weed, but you won't take pride in your value, and you'll let someone abuse you emotionally and mentally?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, your priorities are a little off. And when a man or woman, this is for men too, when they know your priority isn't to you, then that means they don't have to prioritize you.
Mm-hmm. That'll work. Now, let me just ask you this to you, because a couple of things that you had written down, you said just because two people are mutually attracted to one another doesn't mean that they should be in a relationship.
Right.
I think you sort of answered that before, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, attraction is attraction, and commitment is commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And who... I have this saying, and I believe it wholeheartedly. I was actually raised this way. My mother raised me. I'm the only child, so I think she was just trying to instill in me, you know, whenever she's not there, or my dad's not there, or my family's not there, find a nucleus of a family. And so I was raised like that. So now I believe in finding your people. Wherever you are in the world, whoever you are, you need to find your people. You need to find where you fit. You need to find where people get it. They might not agree all the time, but they get you. You know, they get you, and they're going to respect you for who you are. So find your people. So I might be attracted to you, but you might not be my people. You know, that it just might totally be a physical attraction, or we might just get along as friends.
Right.
That doesn't mean you necessarily need to come into my home and spend time there.
Right, that's true. Yeah, so, you have to be selective. Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you say love responsibly, I guess that too sort of falls into the same frame of what you were just discussing.
Yeah, love responsibly. First of all, be responsible for yourself. You know, saying I love you is one thing, but showing it is another. And when you show someone that you really, truly love who you are, you might not be, you know, satisfied. You know, heck, I'm trying to get rid of my double chin over here. I do not love my double chin.
Like I said, me and you both on that one.
However, I have so many people to be grateful to and for. I would never put myself in a position where I would disrespect them and disrespect what I've earned. I love myself. I love my time. So I'm going to love me responsibly first. And if you know that of me, then heck, you're in a great position, because I'm going to love you the same way.
You've given us a lot of great information to walk away with from here. Now, where can we find out more about you? Yeah, Facebook, website, tell us
where
we can
contact
you.
Yeah, you can go to itsindyonline.com. That's itsindy online.com. And all of my social media handles are on, you know, on the website. My social media, Facebook is Indy V. Smith. That's the fan page. Indy Smith is my regular page. And Twitter and Instagram are It's Indy Online.
Indy, what would you like to leave us with?
Chase your happiness. That's first. If you're in a relationship and you know you like to spend time with, quality time is something that's very important to you, guess what? Don't date somebody who travels. be with someone the next time who likes to stay home and watch movies and drink wine and cuddle up. So it starts with you. When you make a transition, when you decide to make changes in your life, make sure you're making the changes where it's going to benefit you. People need to understand, and it's nothing wrong. We need to change our mindset. You come first. Even if you're a mother, you come first. You come first. You are the most important person in the situation. Because if you're not happy, nobody else is going to be happy around you.
That's true. Well, thank you so much, India. It's been great having you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to JanetTheBeautyStyle.com, your beauty, entertainment, and lifestyle expert talk guide. I'm Janet Shields Scott, columnist, radio, and TV host. You can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube. For more fun and informative, yes, and celebrity interviews, log on to the website JanetFitBeautyStyle.com. Remember to love, laugh, and live your life with style. Stuart Reed Law Group takes care of all your legal needs. Affordable rates for business law, family law, real estate law, probate court, bankruptcy, wills and trust. Log on to stuartreedlaw.com or call 818-264-4888. That's 818-264-4888.